Good evening, everybody, on this chilly Wednesday evening, January, what's the date?
15th.
Halfway 15th. Through, approximately.
So, welcome to Insight.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Neil.
How we doing, Jack?
Pretty good. And we welcome into studio the always lovely Miss Toni LaFever. Hello, Toni.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good. And Toni's representing the Fort Recovery Public Library. Toni, you worked up there for how long now?
12 years.
12 years, so mm-hmm. right out of high school
then. Yep, exactly.
Exactly, yeah. So, what made you decide to work at a library?
You know, I stayed home with the kids for a little while and was so fortunate to be able to have that opportunity. But I, as most people know me, I'm a very social person and I loved my kids, but I wanted an opportunity to just be out in the community a couple hours a week. And there was a position open at the library that was 8 to 10 hours a week. It kind of fit the bill. Had great caregivers for the kids at the time. And so I started out just kind of with limited hours and grew from there. And I absolutely am fortunate because I work in a perfect place for me. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, and you see people. And,
yep. And it fits my social needs. I love to read. I love literature. I love kids. I love, just everything about it.
And so what is your title up there?
I'm a library assistant.
Okay. And the, I guess, library manager or head librarian?
Director. Uh-huh. Linda is the library director.
Okay.
And then myself and Teresa West Curtis are library assistants. And we have a student page who basically kind of puts away books as her primary purpose. But she also does a lot of things. She's circulation. She helps us with crafts. Her name is Ava Fullenkamp. She's a student here at the high school. And then we have a clerk treasurer, Rose Hart, who takes care of the financial needs of the library.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So talking about the financial needs of the library. Mm-hmm. Okay. I saw, and I think it was at this most recent election, that some of the libraries were running a levy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that does not include Fort Recovery.
It does not.
Okay. So like Salina, Coldwater, maybe Rockford, Earl?
And Marion Local. Yes. Or Chickasaw.
Chickasaw is part of. So Salina is a main library and they have branch libraries under them. So Salina, Mendon, Chickasaw, and St. Henry are all branch libraries of the Mercer County District Library. So okay. They run a levy. Rockford has a levy, and Coldwater has a levy.
Okay.
Fort Recovery, and Rockford and Coldwater are independent, just like us. So we are okay. Independently run. We're not one of the branch libraries of the county.
So,
but we don't have a levy.
We do not.
No. So where do
why
we
is that?
Funded?
Friends of the Library?
So we get funded through tax dollars.
Okay.
But we also have a very, very active Friends of the Library organization, and they raise funds through membership drives, through the school supply fundraiser that they do every year, just purchasing supplies for the parents so that they don't have to take their kids to Walmart, which is a great service. And so we raise funds that way, and that is one way we offset some of the additional costs that aren't regular library, I'm trying to think of the right word, like just day-to-day expenses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
I don't mean to put you on the spot as the library historian or anything, but do you know what year the library moved from the current museum to its present location?
Ooh, I can look it up. In my head, it's maybe 1973, but I'd have to look that up at the break.
That's gonna
I can
be
look
real
that up on our
close.
History. Yeah.
That was the, I think the Sonderman dry goods, general store, clothing, all kinds of stuff business. They retired, and George Jetter bought that building, and he thought that Fort Recovery needed to be modernized, so he put a modern building downtown.
A facade. Yeah.
Yeah, facade.
Yeah, on that building.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so 20 years later, a few people had kind of done some stuff, but then we decided we wanted things to be, to look, you know, from like 1920s or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we went to the brick street and the different street lights and that type of thing. And I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was 1968 to 73, somewhere in there. I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was.
I know on our library website, we have that information. So at the break, I can look that up and get that exact date.
It's not terribly important, kind of in that vicinity.
So, I tell you, one of the neat things that that's happened to me recently is I've had more opportunities to pop into the library, you know, and it seems like there's always something going on, you know. So let's talk a bit about so you just completed December and the holidays. Touch on some of the activities that you had up there, because I think it was cool.
Sure. December is a fun month at the library because it's one of the opportunities we have to provide a great community service. We provide the space for community, businesses, organizations, families, individuals to highlight their creativity, to promote what they're interested in and invested in, and to open a space for the community to come in and enjoy. So we have the Fort Festival of Trees, which runs through the month of December, and we invite those organizations, families, individuals to decorate a Christmas tree with a theme, and then patrons and visitors to the library go through and vote for their favorite. So, you know, it's really nothing like, we don't give a cash award or anything like that, but it's bragging rights, and we put their name on a plaque in what we call the People's Choice Awards. So we have ballots out, and it's really kind of become a family tradition. We'll see the same families year after year coming through, and the kids love it. It's just magical. We darken the room, we put some Christmas music on, and then all these beautifully decorated trees are on display, and people's creativity. So we just finished our 20th year of hosting the Fort Festival of Trees.
I didn't realize it was anywhere near that.
Yep.
I knew it was more than 10, but
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the 20th year. And we've gone from having 15 trees to 35 trees. You know, it just depends. People get busy, and certain years it works out for families to invest the time, and it's always a magical display. So it really doesn't matter the volume of trees. It's just a really great experience. So we just wrapped that up on December 31st, and every year I say that was the most beautiful year.
Yeah,
because it's so neat.
About how many people vote?
Yeah, that was I was going to ask.
Sorry,
you just never took the words right out of your mouth.
I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm going to edit what I said out, and then you can go ahead and ask the question.
That's fine.
Usually we have around 350 to 400 voters.
Really?
Yeah. This year we had a few less, but I think it was the way the holiday fell.
Yeah.
Because it was right in the middle of the week, and it was a little bit shorter because Thanksgiving was later, so we couldn't get the event started till later. But it usually is between 300 and 400 votes. Now, I'll say we have a lot more people that come through that choose not to vote, that just want to enjoy the display. Yep. So
do we have some people that sneak back 10 or 20 times and vote for the same?
I would have no idea if people do that or not. There's probably some of that, but any opportunity that we have to bring people into the library, we're going to celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so what else did you have going on up there besides the Festival of Trees?
During the month of December, we also have story times. So we run story times twice a week, on Tuesday evenings at 6:15 p.m. and Friday mornings at 10:30 a.m. And it's traditionally for babies through preschool age. You know, if there's no school, sometimes some older kids will come up. But it's another opportunity for us to, again, allow families to have the experience of being in the library, get the kids comfortable. But we also have great volunteers in the community that lead our Friday morning story times, retired community members or teachers, and we absolutely love it because they bring something unique to the table. The kids love the different experiences, the crafts, and the interaction that we have with those other community members. So those are some of the main things that we've got going on. We also have a couple of book clubs that run through the month, and I can highlight those a little bit more later, but December's a very busy month for us. Yeah.
And Jack would help you, but he can't read.
Hey,
but if there's pictures, I guess.
He's been up there helping us before. Yes. He's done a story time. Yeah. Oh, darn. Very, very well.
I tell you what, let's take a break, because I know one of the events that was up there that looked really cool was you had some sort of a painting class.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, should have written that down, because my memory is, you know, it's only been 12 years since I've been out of high school, but my memory doesn't always work well.
I'll tell you what, we will be back right after this.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Port Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The Friends of the Library will be having a used book sale at the library this week. Here's your chance to shop a nice selection of used books, audiobooks, and DVDs for all ages and interests. Items are available for a free will donation. Proceeds from the sale will be used to purchase materials and equipment for the library. And if you have books that you no longer need and would like to share them with the community, donations are now being accepted from the public. They are accepting books, audiobooks, and DVDs, and they must be clean and in good condition. And please, no encyclopedias, magazines, textbooks, or VCR tapes. Head up to our library this week during their normal library hours to find some treasures during their used book sale.
We're back. Talking to Tony Lefevre from the Fort Recovery Public Library about, well, I guess all things library. So,
including the used book sale.
Yep.
What's that?
Including the used book sale that we just heard about.
That's right.
Yep. Well,
anything you need to add about that? Or do we kind of cover it all?
Yeah, we can come back to that in a few minutes if you want.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Yep.
Here, I was checking out the library Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And during Christmas break, you guys had like a painting class, like a creativity.
Yep. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
So we're fortunate to have on our staff Teresa West Curtis, who's always been very artistically talented. And we opened up a day over the Christmas break where we had registration required because we wanted to make sure we had adequate space. But it was a painting. So she had a painting idea in mind, and the Friends of the Library purchased canvases for everyone. So it was a free event. And she led them through a hour-long class, approximately, where they created their own painting based off of one that she had created. So it was open to all ages. We had a lot of kids, but we had a few adults, too, and it was just a really neat opportunity for these kids to come in and kind of step-by-step, here's what you do with the canvas, and you go home with a masterpiece.
Sort of like a, what's that, Ross?
Oh, yeah, Bob Ross?
Yeah.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. And then Neil had mentioned that currently you have going on a used book sale.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do you decide which books
Yeah.
Go in there.
So for our used book sale, we have three of them a year. And for our book sales, we accept donations from community members that maybe have some extra used books in their home, videos, DVDs that they don't use anymore, audio books, children's books, things like that, that they don't necessarily want to see tossed, that they still have a lot of life left in them. So they'll bring them to the library and we'll add those. We also do have some books from our collection that maybe don't circulate anymore, but still have a lot of life left to them. And you know, occasionally we have to make room on our shelves because we do have a set amount of shelf space. So we'll go through our collection and see if there are things that have not circulated in the recent past and might still be of some use to people, and we'll add those to the used book sale. The items that aren't sold in the used book sale usually get donated to either like the Mercer County Council on Aging garage sales, or there's a charity over in Portland, and we try to provide good homes for all of those extra additional donated items so that they're not just being discarded. But then those funds are used for programming, materials, things at the library that
and not having a
we
levy
can pass them on, right, and not to have a levy. Yeah. Which we appreciate.
Yeah, I had a I overheard some people talking, I think it was a couple of years ago, they were talking about books and this kind of stuff, and mm-hmm. How many books do you have? Well, I don't have very many on hand because I'll read them, and if I think I'm going to read them again, I'll keep them. Otherwise, I just donate them to the library for their used book sale.
Yep.
And somebody said, "Oh, I'm going to watch for those."
So, yeah, we really appreciate that.
Yeah. So there's some people, instead of, you know, they'll buy books and they'll read them, and instead of throwing them on the shelf and never look at them again, they'll donate them so other people can.
Yep. It's fun to see kids come in when the used book sale is, because we do have children's titles available. Yeah. And they'll go home and add them to their library. And, you know, really our goal is to try to develop a love of reading, a love of learning for kids of all ages. And so those opportunities for kids to have something that, you know, yes, I understand the concept of borrowing and returning and taking care of books, but I also love the concept of having books at my fingertips at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I read it and then I was talking to somebody and then I thought, I better check that, and you can go back and look at it, or if it's something you really enjoyed, you can go back and read yep. all or part of it again.
Absolutely. Yep.
So are like most of these books a dollar or two?
Actually, we don't have a fee assigned to them. We just take donations. Okay. So it's whatever you feel led to give for whatever you've taken. We don't want any limitations to not allow someone to have books if they want them, and it just seems like it works well for people to just give as a donation what they feel is acceptable.
Yeah, so you probably have some that are a dollar a dozen and some that are $20.
Yep, whatever whatever people choose to. Yeah. So yeah.
It's a really good way to make a donation to the
yep.
library without going and say, I got this check, I'd like to give you, you know, yeah. whatever. You can just go in even if you just look at them, you can throw some bucks in there.
Yeah.
One of the other programs that seems so cool to me, because it's a great way of getting kids started, is the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten mm-hmm. program. So is that a program that's specific to Fort Recovery, or is that like a national thing?
No, it's an established program nationally, and libraries and organizations can opt into it. The goal, again, is to improve literacy and to help develop a lifelong love of learning and reading. And so, obviously, when we say 1,000 books, read 1,000 books before kindergarten, 99% of the time they're being read to.
Sure.
Which is so valuable for kids to hear the books being read, to just be able to have that one-on-one time with a parent or guardian. Or we have older siblings that come in and they'll have read to the younger siblings, but the kids can also, like, they have sheets that are created, so we didn't create them, we're just jumping in on the challenge here, the program. But for every 100 books that they read, they fill out a sheet and it's got bubbles on it. And so they fill in the circles until they get to 100, and we make a big deal out of it. They can come in and get their picture taken, and they get prizes for their first 100 when they reach 500, and then they get a little medal and a certificate at 1,000. Like, hey, I've read this. And it really isn't much, but the kids don't need much. They just want the acknowledgement. So every 100 that they come in, we acknowledge it, make a big deal out of it, show, you know, their picture on Facebook, and just really, really build them up. Like, hey, this is a really great thing.
And I see, I'm looking right now at one I saw it today, but it's yesterday's. A little baby in the carrier finished her first 100 books, and that just made me smile like nobody's been. There's always these little kids that are, you know, anywhere from 2 to 7 or 8 or whatever. Like, well, it wouldn't be 7 or 8, it'd be 5. But
they'd be younger.
But this one is this one's probably 6 months old.
Oh yeah, we did have an older sibling that came in the other day with a new baby brother, and she said we need a paper for my little brother too. So it really is part of it's ownership for them. You know, hey, I'm participating in this. It's important, and I want everybody in my family to participate.
And you know, as a parent or as a grandparent, I don't know if there's a better feeling in the world than having a little one on your lap when you're reading them a book. Yeah. Because, first of all, it's hard to keep them that quiet for that period of time. But when they do that, and you're sitting there and they're reading the book with you, it's a totally different grandpa feeling.
Yeah, I bet so.
Yeah.
I miss when my kids are too big, they don't sit in my lap anymore to read books too. But I enjoyed that too. And we had our traditions at night. But it's really cool to see, like, they may read the same book 10 times. We encourage them to count it every time. You're reading the book. Don't get discouraged by having to choose 1,000 different books. Every time you read it to them, they're learning, they're gaining knowledge. So as we all know, toddlers love repetition. Yeah. So read it to them 5 times. And then, you know, have them tell the story to you and count it. Just count it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, so often kids get their favorite book, and when they come over, that's the one they'll grab.
They'll bring every time. You know, it's really funny because in the library we'll have some moms who say, we pick this book out every time. I don't know how they find it on the shelf. Every time we've probably taken this book home 5 times, and they do. Like, we've got thousands of books on the shelves, and they find it. And
they find the one.
Yeah, it's what's comfortable to them. It's what they enjoy, and it's cool.
So I know that you have, I think it's next Monday maybe, you have a special event too.
Yeah. So Monday the kids don't have school because it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So on those days, a lot of times we'll try to plan something, weather permitting. We don't always get it accomplished, but we're planning an afternoon activity for the kids to come up and play bingo. And we have little trinket prizes. We have some winter crafts that they can go in and do kind of on their own, coloring, cutting, pasting, that kind of stuff. And we're going to just set out some board games and just provide an opportunity for them, again, to come up to the library, engage with other families and kids, and hopefully their moms can engage with other tall people and just enjoy an afternoon at the library. If they last 30 minutes or an hour, it doesn't matter.
I think the Facebook page said something about crafts and stuff that you can...
There will be crafts set out on the table that they can kind of do at their own pace. They can play bingo as a group, and we'll have those bingo games, and then we're going to have some board games for all ages. You know, even if middle school kids or high school kids want to come up and play, you know, we've got a chess set up there. We've got checkers. Just come hang out. So we're hoping to provide a space for that on Monday. I know the weather's going to be really cold, but it's a warm indoor space. They can come hang out.
So what's the best way to follow the library events and activities?
Mm-hmm. So we do try to post our events on our website, which is www.fortrecoverylibrary.org. We also have a Facebook page, Fort Recovery Library. I really appreciate everything Fort Recovery Radio does for us. I try to send those announcements, and I know Neil's really good about scouting out our Facebook page for the things that I miss.
Yeah, sometimes you get it on Facebook, I get it typed up, and then an hour later I see your email.
Comes through. Yeah, I've got an order. Yeah,
and I have the Monday thing. That's the promo coming up in the next commercial break.
So. I appreciate you doing that. Sometimes Neil gets ahead of me. but then we try to promote it through our newspapers and local radio stations as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And flyers around town. We try to post them at the post office, the banks, at the library.
So I tell you what, we will take one more break. And when we come back, we'll kind of wrap things up and touch on the things that we want to make sure that we get touched on. So we'll be back
and right just after this. Make sure you give it a little tease for what's coming up after Tony is done.
Okay, after Tony gets done, I'm hoping that Lisa shows up. We have the communications director from Cooper Farms is going to come up and talk a little bit about the bird flu and kind of fill us in on kind of what's going on
and facts.
Yeah,
facts. Not rumors. Not what about this? And somebody said it's going to be this. We'll hear stuff from the people that actually that's their job to know what's going on. So
very good.
We'll come back and wrap up library and then go on to the Cooper Farm stuff back
fantastic.
In just a minute. Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Announcing Open House Week at Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, your local Case IH dealer. It's Wednesday through Saturday, January 29th through February 1st. Open House Week is a great time for savings from our parts department. All parts are discounted. That's farm equipment, lawn and garden. All parts are marked down. And you can pre-order your parts now, and they'll be ready to go when you stop in. Open House at Hall Brothers, your local Case IH dealer, January 29th through February 1st. Stop in and save.
Here's an easy way to feed your family on a busy night. Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them take care of it. Whether you want wings, sandwiches, subs, their fried goodies, or their awesome pizza, just call them and they'll make it for you. Why work hard in the kitchen after a long day when Miracle Lanes is just a phone call away? And you don't want to miss their very popular all-you-can-eat Friday lunch buffet with salad bar, pizza, breadsticks, and boneless wings. And be sure to call them to book your lanes for birthday parties and other occasions. Miracle Lanes, great food and lots of fun. Stop by and see Corey and Jared today. No school next Monday, and our library has a fun day planned for you that day, sponsored by the Friends of the Library. There will be board games out for you to enjoy with your friends and family, and at 1:30, they'll be playing bingo, and there will be plenty of craft activities all day, too. Don't sit home bored next Monday when there's no school. Get up to our library for a day full of fun, bingo, crafts, board games, and more. Fun at our library on a day off from school. Bring your friends.
We're back. Insight. Talking to Tony Lefevre from the Fort Recovery Public Library. And Neil, there's been a change in the scheduling.
Yeah, I made you give us the tease for it. And now she has other obligations where she has to go.
Yeah, so...
we have Tony for the whole next...
I'm really sorry, guys.
2 hours.
Well, yeah, right. You're so stuck with me.
So Tony's going to sing a couple songs here.
No. I'll leave that to the kids.
Yeah, and they're pretty good at that.
They are good at that.
Yes, they are.
What about Reese and Cam? Are they good singers?
Camden is a great singer.
Yeah.
Reese can sing, but he would never admit it, and you'll never see him do it in public.
So, isn't that funny how they're different personalities?
They are.
Some can't wait to get on stage, and others...
Yep. They're behind the scenes supporting the other ones. Yeah. Yep. So, no, they...
I remember the 225 thing. Two young people stood out above everybody else. One was Cameron, or Camden, and he was just neat over there by the house and doing stuff. And the other one was the chicken, Troy Homan.
Oh, yeah.
When he was like sixth grade or something, whatever it was.
Yep.
And he was really performing. Two guys were... that's all everybody talked about.
Oh, we have so many neat people in the community, you know. Yes. Just feel so blessed to be here. They're just neat kids, neat families, you know. It's just a great opportunity.
So let's start by talking about the Friends of the Library.
Okay
So is there like a membership drive for that?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's the best way to get involved if I'm not already involved?
Sure. So we have a very active, as we mentioned, Friends of the Library group. And the Friends of the Library group is independent of the library, although our staff members are members. But they work to help create programs, volunteer at the library events, and provide financial support for the programs and materials. So if you are interested in the Friends of the Library, we do have a membership form. We have, you know, different levels of donation from $5 individual up to, you know, the sky's the limit, whatever you'd like to donate to us. But you do not have to be an active member at the Friends of the Library meetings to be a Friend of the Library member. We appreciate and encourage all involvement, but we would not want someone not to donate to the library because they're afraid of what kind of commitment. So I will just state that your level of commitment is whatever you would like it to be, but there's opportunities to get involved. So there is a membership form at the library that you can fill out. And again, there's different levels of donations that you can make to the library. And those funds are used, again, to provide furniture, computers, crafts, programs, events like Monday's event, events like the painting event that was free to the community. So we use those funds to help expand our program opportunities.
And how often and when do the Friends of the Library meet?
Sure. We meet quarterly. So January, April, October, July and October, the fourth or the last Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m. at the library. So we meet quarterly just to kind of update on income, expenses, what kind of programming, what things are coming, what things have happened, and we just meet and discuss those things and plan.
Very good.
And nobody calls you up and says, we have a meeting tonight, you better be here.
Right, nope. Nope, it's here's when we meet, anyone is welcome. Yep. No pressure.
And then when I was up there looking at the trees, I noticed there was a group that was meeting in the upstairs room. So was that like a book club?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
So how often do you have book club meetings?
So the Friends of the Library also sponsors two book clubs. And when I say sponsors, they originally coordinated it. Now it's kind of self-led, but we have two book club opportunities throughout the year. We have the one that you probably saw during the library day is called the Book and Lunch Club, and they meet the first Wednesday of the month from September through May, and they will pick out a book, and because we're part of a library consortium. We can order in enough copies of the books. Nobody has to buy them. So we'll provide a book for them. They have a month to read it, and then they meet and discuss it. The book in the lunch club then goes out to lunch. It's optional if you want to join them at a local restaurant here in town. And they'll just have some social time afterwards.
Yeah, I think the 1st of December, I believe it was, I saw the group at Brick Street.
It could be, yeah. Yep. They kind of just vary where they go. And then we do have an evening book club that meets for, you know, people that want to be involved but maybe work during the day. And they meet on the 3rd Monday of the month at 7 p.m. from August through May. I will put a little plug. We meet next Monday, but we're moving it to 6 p.m. because there's something called a National College Football Championship that people might want to go to. So we're bumping up the time to 6 instead of 7. But normally it meets at 7 p.m. And again, we generally collaboratively pick out a book and we order enough copies in that no one has to purchase one. And
so do you have a preference on which team would win that national championship?
Oh, well, let me see.
Would it be green and gold?
You're putting me on the spot here, Neil. Well, I have a son at the University of Notre Dame. So I think I better root for them. and a husband who graduated from there.
I was going to say, was there other family members maybe we might know about?
You know, I enjoy watching football. I have inherited the love for the Irish.
Yeah. And it makes the house run a little smoother if everybody's on the same page.
It's just a lot of fun. So we do have two book club opportunities. They cost nothing to get involved in. And I will say, as an aside, I order twice as many books as I do have people that come to the meetings, because there are a lot of people in the community that want a variety of titles and authors to read, but maybe aren't interested or aren't able to come to the meetings.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to order books, because then you are able to kind of expand your reading repertoire. So, So if anybody's ever interested in either joining a book club or reading what the book club is reading, they just need to contact me at the library and I can add them to the list and request books.
And I know you request books all the time for people for various things. Mm-hmm. So if somebody would come in and say, I'm looking for such and such book that either is already out or you don't have it there, how long does it take to get it through there? Is it a day? Is it a week? Is it
That's kind of hard to say. So let me back up here a little bit. We belong to a library consortium, which is over 100 different member libraries, but with branches, we share materials with over 200 libraries in the state of Ohio. So we pay a membership fee into this consortium every year, and it allows us to offer an opportunity to share and to receive books from other libraries. Depending on the popularity of the title, some of them can take months to get in. Because libraries don't carry 50 copies, you know, they may only have one or two. We had a book recently that was written by, and our book club is doing it. It's by an author by the name of Kristen Hanna, and it's called The Women, and it's about the women of the Vietnam era. And she's a very well-established author. There were 1,500 people on the waiting list for this book.
Wow.
So when someone requests a book, I can get it for them, but it may take
a while.
It may take a couple of months. Now, the benefit for our library patrons is if we own a copy of that book, it circulates among our library patrons first. So even if there's someone else from another library that's on a hold in front of you, the computer automatically recognizes this library patron requests this copy and this library owns it, so it'll go to them first. So you may kind of bump up in that, but I can't ever really give a guarantee of when items come in.
Yep.
So how the library delivery works is that with this service, we package materials and we send them out through a library delivery service 3 times a week. So passenger van or utility van comes and picks up our materials that we package with labels, and they'll take them to a warehouse to be sorted, and they're distributed across the state. So it depends on, you know, how quickly they can get the materials moved to. So it's a really great system. It expands what we're able to offer our patrons, because obviously our library budget and our library shelves don't allow us to keep every title in the world.
Sure.
But you may have to be patient sometimes with some of those titles, depending on the popularity.
Yeah.
So right now, what are some of the most popular authors?
Ooh. There's an author who writes psychological thrillers. Freda McFadden is very popular. Colleen Hoover is very popular. William Johnstone writes westerns. James Patterson is always popular, but he pops out books multiple times a month. Yeah. I think he's got an amazing staff of writers under him. David Baldacci. You know, the Amish authors are always popular. Kids books, we've got Mo Willems, who writes like Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus and some of these fun books that the kids like. So there's a variety of things that come through on a regular basis. Those are probably some of the most popular that I can think of right offhand that may take you a little while. Kristen Hanna's another one, just takes a little bit to get to. Now, some of the writers that have been well established, you know, you may only have to wait a week to get a book, depends on what it is and how long it's been in print.
So you talked about your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So often different companies or whatever are also involved in other social media things like TikTok or Instagram. Mm-hmm. Does the library do anything like that?
We don't currently. Excuse me. Because we're a small staff, we do a little bit of everything. And so, you know, I may do circulation, I may do a children's program, I may do cataloging to put things on, I may put books away. And so we've kind of limited some of our social media outlets to what we can adequately maintain.
Yeah.
And so while we would like to be able to offer some of those other things, and there's probably some things in this new year I need to expand, because I do think we're probably missing a specific audience by not being on Instagram or TikTok, but it takes a little bit more time. And
Well, and you're better off doing one or two things right. than spreading yourself thin and not doing it justice.
Yeah, so that's kind of an excuse, but right now we're just focusing on the things that we have time to currently maintain. So
is there still such a thing, and I'll ask this and then we'll come back for the answer.
Okay.
So is there still such a thing as the Dewey Decimal System and card catalogs?
Okay, let me stew on that and then we'll come back to it.
That's one you have to think about a while, isn't it?
Am I showing my age, Neil?
Yes. Yes. And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Back in a minute.
One guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
Can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details. Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Be sure to stop in to Wayne IGA and check out the new items in their grab-and-go cooler. They have a nice variety of fresh store-made salads and desserts, freshly cut fruit bowls, several varieties of store-made foot-long subs, and now they also have some great ready-to-heat-and-eat meals like beef stir-fry, stuffed peppers, ravioli, meatloaf, chicken alfredo, and lots more. They also have containers of their store-made cooked beef, pork, and cream chicken. Check it out the next time you're there and stock up on your favorites. There's a different variety of grab-and-go meals every day. Grab-and-go at Wayne IGA, your best friend on a busy night. Here are the
the Fort Recovery Radio broadcast coming up this weekend on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will travel to Minster and will simulcast WPGW's coverage of the varsity game, and the huddle video will be available for the game. Friday, the boys will host Minster, and Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast the varsity game with our audio on the NFHS video, and the huddle video will also be available. And there will be lots more going on that night, with the traveling tribe serving their annual German dinner from 4 to 6 in the Commons before the game, and it will also be senior night for the bowling and wrestling teams, plus it will be another student appreciation night. Then on Saturday, it will be a girls-boys doubleheader at the Portside Fieldhouse, with the Lady Indians hosting Bradford, with the two-quarter JV game starting at 10 a.m. and will simulcast WPGW's coverage of the varsity game with their audio on the NFHS video, and the huddle video will also be available. Then the boys will host the Crestview Knights in an early game, with the JV game starting at 3 and will simulcast WPGW's coverage of the varsity game, and their audio will also be available on the NFHS video, and the huddle video will also be available. Lots of big games coming up this weekend, so get out to as many games as you can to help cheer on our Indians teams. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back talking to Miss Tony LeFevre from the Fort Recovery Public Library about basically all things library here. So before we went into break, I had asked you, and maybe it was a stupid question.
Not at all.
I don't. But what is the Dewey Decimal System and the card catalog still a thing?
So, yes. We still use the Dewey Decimal System for our nonfiction collection. And for those that may not be familiar with that, that is a numbering system where the nonfiction books are categorized by subject. And so it goes from zero to like 999, and each 100 is indicative of like specific subjects or...
like it might be...
Right. Animals.
History.
500s are animals. So it depends on whether they're wild animals or domesticated animals. In the 600s is like cooking and crafting and home building. 700s are sports. So, you know, like your football books are going to be in your sports. 92 is biography. So, yes, yep. All of our books upstairs are categorized by the Dewey Decimal System. And we do have adult and juvenile nonfiction mixed in together so that it's by subject. To find those in past years, you would use a card catalog system, which would be in a file drawer, and it would actually be cards, and you would have to go and look on those cards to find out what subject you're looking for to find the book. So now our card catalog system is all digital. And so you go to a computer and you type in the word that you're looking for, and it populates what subject matters or what materials might be available. You can even select, I'm looking for just items at the Fort Recovery Library.
Yep.
And so narrow it down to what might be available immediately. Or you can search the whole consortium for items and find what you're looking for that way.
So if I wanted to find a book that would educate me on a flower bed, mm-hmm. let's say, on, you know, what to put in my flower bed.
Uh-huh.
I could find that in the computerized card catalog.
So you would go to the catalog on our website or our library system, and you could type in landscape or perennials or annuals, and it would find books that would deal with that subject matter, and then you could limit it to publication year. You could limit it to locality, like I'm just looking for books in the Mercer County area, these libraries, or I'm looking for a juvenile book about landscaping, which would be about my level of landscaping knowledge.
Well, you're a little over my head if you're already a juvenile. I think I've killed, I was thinking about it today, I think I killed $250 worth of flowers each of the last 3 years.
Well, Neil, you do know that some of those flowers die naturally, so we're just going to go with that.
Not a weekend.
Oh. Well, then we might have to find you a juvenile book.
Yes.
So the card catalog system that is digitized now makes it a lot more a lot easier to access the materials specifically.
And then,
although I do think kids need to have a little harder, because asking Alexa or Google or your phone is cheating.
It is cheating. You know what? And it'll be interesting with the expansion of artificial intelligence. I mean, you know, what will a book review look like,
right?
You know, that type of thing.
Yep. I'm not very knowledgeable about that, but I will admit it kind of makes me a little scared. But yeah, there's opportunities to find exactly what you're looking for, and we can help you with that.
So if a mom comes to you and says, I have a third or fourth grader, and I just can't get him interested in reading. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend?
First of all, I would try to find out what kinds of activities that child likes. You know, if they like to be outdoors, if they like sports, if they like hands-on things. There are a few general books that, you know, I know that if somebody doesn't love to read, I feel like it's not that they don't like reading, it's that they haven't found what they enjoy yet. So third or fourth grade, you know, there's Encyclopedia Brown is still a thing. I don't know if you guys remember that, where there's short stories of like, okay, there might be three pages and Encyclopedia Brown goes to this situation and he's got to solve it. So you have to figure out how he solved the mystery and it gives a solution, but it's kind of a shorter, like it's less comprehension. It's resolved a lot quicker and they get to have some thoughts. So that's one of them. You know, there's comic books out there, which I know people consider not to be reading. They call them graphic novels now.
Yeah.
But there's ones about history. So, you know, if I find a kid that maybe doesn't love, like the idea of having all these words on a page is a little overwhelming, I may refer them to one of the nonfiction books about the coral reef that's in comic book format, so that there's pictures and colors, but they're gaining a lot of knowledge and it may encourage them to read something else. We have some authors. Mike Lupica is a really great sports author for boys. Girls, there's Nancy Drew, which is a little outdated in the language from some of the older ones, but, you know, it seems to grab their attention. So, you know, it really kind of depends on what the kid is interested in, but we try to find things that grab their interest.
And then if, like, you were going to make the same type of a suggestion for a newly retired guy who just has more time to kill, what would you recommend to him?
And especially in the winter when it's cold and you can't go outside and do your flowers.
Right.
That's right.
Guys tend to gravitate a little more toward nonfiction. Girls tend to gravitate a little more towards fiction. And that's a general statement. That's not always true. But, you know, I wouldn't pick a 900-page book to recommend to somebody as a first, you know, like relaxation. But there's a couple of great authors. You know, Bill O'Reilly has some really good historical nonfiction books, if you like that kind of thing. There's great biographies. One of my favorite, and I'm not a huge nonfiction reader. My husband makes fun of me, but I just read a book, and saying just maybe a year or two ago, Unbroken by Laura Hillenbrand, which was a nonfiction book about an Italian-American who was an Olympian and ended up going to war in World War II and was captured in a prisoner of war camp. So they made a movie out of it too, but it was a well-written book. So that would be something that I think would grab a lot of different people.
Yeah.
It's not an overwhelming book. So that would be probably one of my first recommendations.
Yep. Awesome. So, Neil, do we need to take one more break?
Yeah, we have one more break.
Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what. We'll take one more break and we'll wrap things up with Tony and probably touch again on some of the events that are coming up.
Yep, sounds good.
So we'll be back right after this.
Bohr's Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Bohr's, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Bohr's Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Bohr's Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Hello, this is Trevor Winning, owner of Top Ranch LLC, former Hastings Automotive. I want to thank the community for the warm welcome back to town. I plan to keep the Hastings quality of service along with their previous employees. With the cold weather here, don't forget to have your car winterized. This includes testing your battery, checking the fluids, and testing your coolant. We will check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all the lights for your worry-free winter travels. Give Top Ranch LLC a call at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
This is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Business owners and farmers, are you concerned with the economy and where things might be headed? That's why it's important to be thinking about your 2024 and 2025 operating monies. Come see our newest addition, my son Tyler and I, for the best value in the market. Because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice to have a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See us for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4044.
The Wendoline Sports Club is having their winter barbecue chicken dinner on Sunday, January 26th. Tickets are only $10 each, pre-sale only, and you can dine in or carry out. Serving will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Call 419-852-5918 or 419-375-4562 for tickets. Don't miss Wendoline Sports Club's winter barbecue chicken dinner coming up on January 26th with serving from 4 to 6 p.m.
We're back. Insight. Talking to Miss Tony LaFever from the Fort Recovery Public Library about all things library. And Tony, it was a quick hour.
It did go fast.
It did go fast.
Yeah, even even after we thought we might have wrapped up, then we still had things we could talk about. Plenty to talk about.
Well, and I tell you what, I think probably the most important thing is to make sure that we touch on the stuff that you guys have that is going on in the near future.
Yep.
So, you know, why don't you fill us in on this?
Yeah, we already mentioned we have the used book sale this week going until Saturday. So we're closed tomorrow, so don't rush up there tomorrow. But we're open Friday from 9 to 5:30 p.m. and Saturday 9 to 1. So we will have that going on. On Monday, we've got our event where we're inviting the kids up to come hang out with us in the afternoon starting at 1:30. We will have an event. We've got our story times Tuesdays at 6:15 p.m. and Fridays at 10:30 a.m. So we have those every day or every week. Saturday, February 1st is Take Your Child to the Library Day. We have a couple of staff members on vacation, so I don't know that we're doing any event that day, but we strongly encourage you to bring your kids. Get them in the library. We love to get kids comfortable there. We want it to be a familiar place because really the community is the owners of the library. So bring your kids there.
And on that kind of note, I happen to notice over the last several decades that isn't really a big deal in the library.
Thank goodness, because I'm the loudest person there.
it is not where people...
Libraries have changed. You know, there are some libraries that have specific areas that are a little bit quieter, but it really has changed the atmosphere of the library culturally. It's less of a quiet space. It's more of a community space.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah. You guys do an outstanding job of making sure there's things going on. You walk in and you don't have to go and whisper to somebody because somebody might be reading over here.
Yeah. We try to be aware if someone is, you know, having a meeting or whatever, but
if you're trying to be quiet, it doesn't work because there's kids over here playing right. on the toys you have, and it is a lively place and it's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. We try really hard to make it a welcoming space for everyone. So some more upcoming events is we have what's called Unlock the Box, which I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of an escape room that has gone through the culture here in the last 10 years, but this is kind of an escape room in reverse. So we have a problem and you're trying to solve it using clues in the room to get into a locked box and save the day. And so we have an event coming up February 8th through the 17th where we will take registrations beginning probably in 2 weeks. And it's groups of 6 to 8 and they come in and they get 45 minutes in that room to solve that. And usually it's middle grades.
And is that geared towards kids and adolescents?
It is. Okay. Uh-huh. Usually it's like upper elementary, middle school. Yeah. Sometimes we'll do a little younger and we encourage families to come.
So it worked really well for Jack and his brothers.
It worked really well for me. Sometimes they're hard to figure out.
Yeah.
So we have that going on. The Fort Recovery Education Association every year is, they run a program for the month of February where they try to encourage kids to check out as many books as possible and they donate money to the library for purchasing of books. Oh. So that will be February 1st through the 28th. And then we're running a music time. It'll be a 6-week consecutive session beginning on Wednesday, February 19th through March 26th, Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. And it's a music time for babies and toddlers, music and movement, songs, dancing. I get to go up there and make a fool out of myself and it's so much fun.
Yeah, but the kids won't remember.
No, they love the song. So it's like a 30-minute session. Sometimes we'll use little musical instruments. So we'll have that going on starting February 19th. And then we also do a collaborative program with Coldwater Library called Battle of the Books for 4th through 6th graders. And they have a pre-selected list of books that they split among their team members. So it's a team of like 4, I think. And they'll read the books. And then on March 27th, that's a tentative date, but Thursday, March 27th, they'll meet and they'll have like an actual trivia night where each team will have an opportunity to answer the questions based off of that pre-selected books and they see which team comes out the winner, which has the most knowledge. So that's between Fort Recovery and Coldwater Schools, 4th through 6th grades. And we've been doing that for 5 or 6 years, maybe more. And it's just a really neat collaborative program. So those are the upcoming things. And obviously this summer we'll have summer reading program and some more things as the spring goes. But those are kind of the highlights.
And to touch again, next Monday.
Yep.
Is a game and craft day at the library?
Yes, it's completely free. No pre-registration required.
And it's from what time?
It'll start at 1:30. Bingo starts at 1:30 and they can come, you know, all afternoon. We may not have the bingo running, but they can come and do games and crafts throughout the afternoon.
And just in the afternoon or will it be in the morning too?
No, just in the afternoon. Mm. We actually, because we have the used book sale running until Saturday, we'll need the morning time to clean up that space and make it available for our afternoon activities.
Yep.
So. All
right.
And then from a computer access standpoint, so are there computers that are available for anybody that walks in that needs access to the internet?
Yes.
They can come up there?
Yep. We have currently 4 desktop computers that are available. We do ask that you sign in just so we can kind of keep track of how many people are using the systems. We really don't monitor anything, but so there are 4 public computers. We also have a guest Wi-Fi that if you have your own phone or laptop, you can connect to. We offer printing services available either from the computer. We're hoping, you know, to maybe expand the technology that from your phone, we could do that eventually. It's not happening currently, but so yeah, we offer, you know, if you need copies made, if you need to print a printing label or use a computer for access, that is available all during library hours.
Or if your computer crashed today.
Yeah,
printer crashed today.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yes.
And ink is so darn expensive. So, you know, for a minimal fee, you can make copies at the library too.
You're talking about something that reminded me. You used to loan out Wi-Fi hotspots. Mm-hmm. Is that still something,
still,
or is there
them.
So much going on
now
with technology in the cars that it's not needed?
No, we still do have mobile hotspots that we loan out for a two-week period as well. And those are just smaller than a cell phone boxes that you can take with you on vacation in the United States. You can't take them internationally or on cruises or on planes, but you can use them to connect your phone to a Wi-Fi source, and that is free of charge as well. And I want to thank the Community Foundation because they help sponsor some of the year-long subscriptions for those Wi-Fi hotspots too. So again, we have a great community that offers so much support to us, and that's why we don't have to have a levy, which is great for us. It's great for the community, and we are currently constantly expanding programs and access to different materials that the community hopefully can take advantage of.
And, you know, I read about, like, you know, Dolly Parton sponsored some new library. I don't know whether it was buying books or exactly. Was the Fort Recovery Library part of her program?
We are now. Through the state of Ohio, I think Fran DeWine kind of got a grant for Ohio to gain access to Dolly Parton's Imagination Library.
That's
so it's Dolly Parton's Imagination Library of Ohio. She started that program in Sevierville, Tennessee, where she grew up, in order to make sure that all kids had access to books. So it is free to the patrons. I'm not sure how it's funded in the state of Ohio, but it is every month from 0 to 5, you will receive a free book in the mail. So you can sign up for that at the library, or you can go online. I'm not 100% sure off the top of my head, but on our website, www.fortrecovery.org, at the bottom is a quick link to Dolly Parton's Imagination Library where you can sign your child up for that program too.
Fantastic.
And if you have three kids, they'll get three different books because it's based on age level and not...
Not family.
Not family, yeah. So...
Fantastic. Tony, did we miss anything?
I don't think so, but I do want to really quickly say I apologize. I did not thank the Fort Recovery Radio for putting a fabulous tree in the Festival of Trees this year. That was a great addition, and we're so thankful for all of you, all the things you guys do for the community and for us. So I apologize. I neglected to say that earlier.
And we always hope we don't have to help anybody. Yep. I say we, Jack and his brothers and Harold, deal with all of that.
You know, I think... it's hard to believe that so many people are in need, but it's a great opportunity to be able to reach out and do something. And I just think you guys, what you guys do is amazing.
Yeah.
And
well, what the community does is amazing. What we do is stupid.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of work behind it.
Jack does a lot of work.
What do we do is we created an opportunity.
Yep.
You know, and yeah, hell, we didn't know what
we didn't sit down and say, hey, let's create an opportunity. We sat down and said, we're going to have a Christmas show.
Yeah.
And everybody gave us the opportunity.
Yeah.
And the community, like you said, the community is amazing.
Yeah.
If you sit and do the math, it is $50 per man, woman, and child if all the money came from Fort Recovery School District. If you just assume it all came from the county, that's $5 for every man, woman, and child in the county.
Yeah.
Every man, woman, and child in the county. And we do get money from other counties, but man, that's incredible.
It really is.
It is. And I just appreciate you, and I appreciate your participation and support of our programs. Like, you know, like we said, we couldn't do it without each other. So. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I am going to plant a seed here. If we do the Parade of Homes again next year.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we could talk the library into having the Festival of Trees open that night for 5 days.
Huh.
And that one of the stops.
That's a great thought.
And I think it's a way to kind of...
I think that's a really good idea. That's a great idea.
Neil, I have so many great ideas.
Yes, you do.
People just don't listen.
If he just had a microphone where he could tell people about them.
Well, that is something I will make a note of and we'll look into for next year. That's a great idea.
Fantastic. Well, Neil, I tell you what, we surpassed...
Yep.
8 o'clock, so you know, Bubba and Fee will know that it's normal.
Yep.
Well, Tony, thank you for having me.
Thank you for everything.
Yep.
I tell you what, stay tuned for Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee.
And they're going to have Steve Hellwagon.
Steve Hellwagon.
Buck Nuts talking about the national championship game.
Is there a basketball game?
No, it's going to be a football.
It's a football game.
Football game this time.
So stay tuned for Bubba and Fee right after this. We'll be right back.